Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Star Wars attractions have names, official news on the fireworks and parade,
new Marvelland information, World of Color returning, we talk to a former Disney College Program cast member, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of November 21st, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Richard for joining us at the general admission level and to Connie for increasing her support to the annual pass holder level. Their support helps to make Disneyland Weekly possible. They get some pretty nice perks for being a patron, like access to the supporter Discord chat, live show recordings, some DL Weekly swag, and more. If you want to join, head on over to disneylandweekly.com/support.
Well, when you support the show, you get us closer to milestones. The next milestone is just $17 away and gets all the supporters entered into a monthly drawing to get a free item from our merchandise store at disneylandweekly.com/store. Even a dollar goes a long way to continue bringing weekly Disneyland news, information, and discussion coming your way. Also, Teresa has made some holiday cards, handmade, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And those will be going out to all of our patrons who are here before Christmas. There'll be Christmas cards out for everybody, or the holiday cards. So keep that in mind.
On the public live show this Sunday, we decided to rebrand the podcast to DL Weekly. Over the coming weeks, the logo, website, and social media will be updated to reflect this. If you want to see what else we talked about, you can check out the archive video at disneylandweekly.com/live.
We love seeing reviews on iTunes, plus it helps get our ranking better so more people can find us and join the community. If you want to join in the conversation, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram under DL Weekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com. Don't forget to send trivia questions to producer@disneylandweekly.com. There's also the voicemail at 657-345-4445 and the P.O. Box listed on our website at disneylandweekly.com. Feel free to email, Facebook, Instagram, comment, tweet, call, or mail us any questions, feedback, or suggestions you may have about the show. The feedback that we receive will be discussed on the listener feedback specials that we record and post monthly.
Now, let's get to the news.
Well, as if Star Wars Galaxy's Edge wasn't enough of a mouthful, the two star attractions in the new lands also have longer names. The Millennium Falcon attraction, where guests will pilot the Falcon, will be named Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. The trackless ride that is based off the newer trilogy will be called Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. These were announced at the Destination D event in Orlando this past week. Disney also released some teaser trailers for the attractions, which we have linked in the show notes at DisneylandWeekly.com.
So I'm not sure how you feel about this, Teg, but I don't understand why they needed to have the two parts to the names for these. Why couldn't it just be called Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance? Why did they have to put Millennium Falcon in front of Smuggler's Run and Star Wars in front of Rise of the Resistance? Like I said, I don't understand how those things aren't implied, because Smuggler's Run's going to happen. It is the Millennium Falcon attraction. So it's kind of, I don't know. I guess I'm confused why they had to define it so precisely.
I feel like that's what a lot of people online are saying too. They don't understand why make everything so complicated. And I totally agree with you. It should be Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance. First of all, you're in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Why would you call it Star Wars Rise? It's like,
Maybe someone's confused and they got lost. I don't know.
Although, I mean, I guess it's a shorter name than Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, which is like Indiana Jones's name. But well, like, I want like easy things like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad or Splash Mountain or the Haunted Mansion.
Well, it'd be kind of like, so to me, this would be kind of like if Splash Mountain were named Br'er Rabbit Splash Mountain. If you somehow like combined... Right. Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Bear, you know, the storyline with...
Song of the South, Splash Mountain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. It'd be Song of the South, Splash Mountain.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I'm confused. I know, I don't think that everybody is going to... I don't think anyone's going to actually say that when they're talking about the attractions. I'm sure everyone's just going to say the Smuggler's Run and the Rise of the Resistance, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting. They are going to have a lot of extra printing when it comes to their guides and talking about these attractions, but I'm still excited for them.
I was going to say, what do you think of the actual trailers that were released that show some of the stuff? The trailers
looked so fun. They looked like movie trailers.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I didn't think it was going to be this way, but I'm actually more excited for Rise of the Resistance than I am for Smuggler's Run. Rise of the Resistance, the first trackless ride system that's coming to to this side of the, well, I think to the States, actually. And so I think that, like, it's just, it looks amazing. And I'll tell you what, James can back me on this one. I told him, I got chills when I saw the end of that trailer. When you, there's a scene at the end of the trailer when you watch it that the camera pans over. It's an Imperial, or it's a, not Imperial, it's a Resistance guy, and he's like got a panel in front of him, and this alarm starts going off, and the camera turns, and it's like the outside like window, and then the Resistance like pops out of light speed like right there, and it just was like, oh, that's so cool. I just can't wait to go on it. So I'm really excited for that. Smuggler's Run, I think it'd be cool. They just haven't shown much of it yet. Like, I think they're trying to keep it under wraps until it debuts.
It is really interesting because what we have seen of it is basically it looks like you're inside the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah, and you're in the cockpit.
Yeah, you look, you know, it looks very much like what you've seen in the movie. So that's pretty exciting to me. So I have good feels about that one.
Sure.
Get your ears on. The biggest celebration of Mickey and Minnie Mouse in the history of Disneyland begins January 2019. The party will celebrate our two favorite mice with exciting new entertainment, decor, and, of course, limited-time food and merchandise. The new nighttime spectacular dance party, Mickey's Magic Mix, will debut on January 18th. Mickey's Soundsational Parade returns on January 25th, and a special Valentine celebration will take place from January 22nd through February 18th. The park will feature lovely Valentine's decor, including a new Mickey flower portrait on Main Street. Guests can be on the hunt during Minnie's Valentine's Surprise Scavenger Hunt. Guests can purchase a commemorative map and stickers and search for hidden Valentines around the park.
Well, that sounds like fun. There's a lot of stuff coming. We kind of already talked about Mickey's Mix. Magic Mix before, and the Soundsational Parade, but the Valentine's Day kind of sounds fun with, you know, a bunch of decor and stuff that always kind of pops up. The portrait is changing, which is nice, and then this Minnie's Valentine's Surprise Scavenger Hunt sounds like fun as well. I mean, it's just little things like this that I think are great.
I'm a sucker for these scavenger hunts. They just sound so exciting to me, and if it's something that I'm not able to participate in myself, I am that weird person that watches like other people do it online, because they just sound and look so much fun, and it's still pretty fun to watch other people do it, because it's as close I can get to doing it myself. But I don't know, I might have to figure out how I can get there in February and the end of January and February to see if I can just do it myself. Maybe I will be the one to film it so you guys can watch me do it.
I don't know how that's gonna happen, but
I don't know. I'm hoping.
Well, Mickey's 90th birthday was on Sunday, November 18th. There's so much great merchandise available to help celebrate this very special mouse. Pandora has come out with some new charms. Sunglass Icon has Mickey Ray-Ban sunglasses. Disneyana has amazing Mickey art, classic Mickey and Minnie dolls, plus many different pins, plushes, bags, and t-shirts everywhere. The hit item for the weekend was the special Mickey birthday sipper mug. It was available at multiple locations at the resort, and hundreds of people waited in line to pick one up. The line at the Jolly Holiday Bakery was out the doors and went the entire length of Main Street to the Emporium.
Just nuts. I don't know if you guys have seen pictures of the lines and the craziness that was going on at the parks just specifically for this sipper, but man, it was one of the most popular items I think we've seen recently.
Yeah.
People were going crazy for them. If you were able to get to the parks to celebrate Mickey's 90th birthday on Sunday, then you experienced the crazy crowd levels. The birthday cavalcade was extremely packed as guests worked to get the best view possible of Mickey celebrating his birthday. We had a couple of listeners that were in the parks on Sunday and agreed that the lines for the special Mickey Sipper Cup were crazy. But if you waited until later in the day in Disney California Adventure, you could still get one for less than a 10-minute wait.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting because our listeners was in the chat, and she was saying that she wasn't going to wait in that crazy line. It was like hours long, and she's like, I'm going to go get on some rides. And then later in the day, she messaged us again and said, I got my Mickey sipper, had to wait less than 10 minutes, suckers. Apparently, there were still longer lines, too, that she was like walking by after she had gotten hers.
You know what? That's the trick with this stuff in the parks, though, is you got to know where all the locations are, because I think what a lot of times happens is people assume, or they only hear of one location that this special item is available, whether it's a limited time sipper or some sort of food item. But in reality, most of the times they're available in both parks. So if the lines may be crazy in Disneyland, check out and see where, if it's, you know, if there's some place located in Disney California Adventure that also has this item that you want, and go over there and check it out there. Because like I said, unfortunately, I think a lot of people assume these things and don't do the full research behind it. So it was a good lesson. And I'm glad that she shared that with us, because I'm one of those people that as soon as I'm, oh, there's the line, I got it. You know, they must be waiting for this. So I hop in the, you know, I'd be the one to hop in the line and just stick it out. Now, I don't know if I would have waited quite this long for the sipper, but so I could see how a lot of people would do that. So it's good to know. Good to know and research before you get in, you know, commit to one of these things.
I'm just happy she got one and didn't have to wait.
Yeah, it is pretty cute, though.
You know, even if you have an annual pass, you know, you don't want to spend all day standing in a line to get one piece of merchandise.
We were joking that if we were going to stand in a line that long, there must be one heck of an attraction. There's got to be one heck of an attraction at the end of that line for us to wait.
Wow.
Because it was, I think she said at that point, it was a 2-hour wait.
Well, just remember, we'll probably be in that line for Galaxy's Edge next year.
That's very true. Very, very true.
Well, concept art for the new Spider-Man attraction was revealed at Orlando's Destination D event. The new attraction will be located in the new Marvel Land in a former location of the It's Tough to Be a Bug. Last year, we reported on a new patent Disney had filed for a track-based swing ride. The system would have a pendulum arm that would make guests feel as if they were swinging, perhaps on webs between buildings. Well, rumors have also emerged that the Imagineers are looking at creating an interactive shooter-based attraction similar to Midway Mania. If these two ideas come together to create California Adventure's new Spider-Man attraction, it's sure to be a hit. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do the swing ride thing. That would be super cool. I know that a lot of the rumors have been more towards like the Midway Mania. And my thought with that is, do you really need another? We already have Buzz Lightyear and Midway Mania. Do we need a third attraction that does the same stuff?
So see, that's the beautiful thing about this, what I wrote for this. I think they're going to make your ride vehicle is a swinging thing, so you feel like you're Spider-Man swinging through the buildings, plus you're going to be shooting
now, that would
your
be cool.
webs. That's what I'm thinking. That was totally what I was going with.
Well,
I think they're going to marry the two ideas, because I was not very excited, because I, you know, I was kind of on the same boat of you thinking that it was going to be like the Astro Blasters or Midway Mania, where you're just kind of in this ride vehicle that slowly goes through and you shoot at things, which is a lot of fun, but do we really need a third one? But if you're in this fun swinging thing and you feel like you are Spider-Man and you're shooting your webs, awesome. So
and
fingers
more
are crossed.
Challenging.
Oh yeah, way more challenging. Mm-hmm. And I bet you, you know, depending on where you're sitting, your experience would be different.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers
excited.
Are crossed.
I'm hoping you're right.
My fingers are crossed. Well, attention all bobsled riders, the Matterhorn is back with a new and improved queue area. Instead of wrapping around the mountain, the standby area is now in front of the mountain. There's also a new entrance arch that welcomes guests to the area. It helps to separate the standby, fast pass, single rider, and special assistance riders. The original building queue area's sign and fences all received a fresh coat of paint and look new again. In our opinion, the Matterhorn looks great.
It does look great.
I can't wait to go see it in person. It looks great.
Yeah, I like what they've done. It does seem to flow better, because before, I mean, the queue area for the Matterhorn was never designed with fast pass and a special assistance pass and like all of these things put together. So now that they've created something where like it actually is made for that, I think is great. So hopefully it'll cut down on some of the, you know, congestion in that area. And, it, you know, especially with Galaxy's Edge opening, hopefully it'll kind of free it up or whatever. People I still see are complaining that it's still too rough of a ride with the new bobsleds. Unfortunately, people that are having this complaint, they're never going to go back to the old bobsleds. Just move on.
So, you know, the thing that I really like about the new queue area also is there's more, it's not as themed as some of our other attraction queues are, but there's more theming to it now, which it was just always so interesting to me that you know, the line for that, you could tell, was not meant to go as long as it does now, and it really wasn't designed to go around the mountain like it did, but that's just kind of what happened and how they went, that they just kind of rolled with the flow, I guess would be a good way of saying it. But so I'm just glad that it's kind of now more contained. The other thing too is I'm wondering that if you are in a longer standby wait, it seemed to me like it took forever for that line to move when you were in that single file line around the mountain. So I'm wondering if having the switch back, you'll be able to see more movement, so you won't feel as if you're waiting as long.
Well, does that make sense? Yeah, that's one thing that I have always noticed at attractions like Peter Pan. Peter Pan is a long line all the time, but I always felt like at least the line's always moving.
Exactly.
Like, it looks very big and crowded and whatever, but I feel like you very rarely stay in one spot for very long.
Yes.
So yeah. Hopefully that'll also happen here. Well, the return of World of Color could be on the horizon as testing has begun on the show recently. Disney has been known to put on impromptu spectaculars when they're testing, so keep an eye out for the show to make a return at any time. Now, this is great news.
Oh, my fingers are crossed so many times for this to be, like, real and going to be happening very, very soon.
No, I saw this and I was like, oh, I honestly didn't expect it. The rumors are saying that before the holidays are done, the new holiday show might premiere. So,
which
fingers crossed.
Just amazing. So, this article that we got this from also was mentioning that if you are staying at one of the resort hotels, if your hotel is facing and you can see the lagoon, to kind of just be on the lookout, because a lot of the times when they're doing this testing, it's usually not when the park's open. Mm-hmm. It might be sometime in the middle of the night. So if you're up real late one night, just keep an eye out and just check out your window. Maybe you'll see something.
It's true.
The information booth on the harbor side of the Esplanade is going away, and a 4,000 square foot prefabricated shade structure for security will be coming to that side of the entrance for the parks. This will result in 12 new screening tents that will be installed over the next few weeks and should be completed by Christmas.
Long overdue.
Yes.
And I'm hoping, like you have your fingers crossed for World of Color, I have my fingers crossed that this is going to look permanent and nice. Because I felt like those tents that are there just look cheap and temporary, but like they're not temporary. They've literally been there for years. So it would be extremely nice if they would just have a nice structure that looks permanent. What I'm hoping that this will be this, but you know, like the entrance gates are like where you go through the turnstiles.
Yes.
I was hope that they would build something like that for security. Do you know what I mean? Where it looks
that
permanent and
neat.
Themed.
Yeah. I was going to say, the one thing I'm hoping is that if it's permanent looking, that it's also themed. I think that would be nice.
Well, Starbucks will be returning to the west side of Downtown Disney. As you may recall, in order to make way for the new hotel, many of the west side Downtown Disney businesses were closed. Well, since the project has been scrapped, the area has become sort of a ghost town. Rumor has it that the AMC Theater and the Rainforest Cafe might also be returning. They want their spaces back. There's nothing for sure. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these places must have made good money because the Rainforest Cafe building has been completely gutted on the inside. So they would have to invest quite a bit of money to get this back to a place where it could actually be a restaurant again. Unlike Earl of Sandwich, where it was just, they just took everything out. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't gutted. They could easily reopen. And then AMC, that's a complicated situation because they were talking about building a new facility over in Garden Walk. So now, if they're going to stay here, what's going to happen with the stuff that they're trying to do over at Garden Walk? I don't know.
Time will tell.
Well, plus, the AMC Theater you had issues with anyway, didn't you? Because you thought it was weird that people would want to go see a movie while they're at the park.
Yeah, that was just me. Clearly, people went to movies. I do wish that having a theater right next to the parks, that they would do something more special, I guess, for different Disney premieres.
So are you saying like the stuff they do at the El Capitan for movies down in Hollywood, like where they have like people that were in the movies
not quite like that, but I'm just saying, so when Vern and I were there this past spring, Solo was premiering that week, and we looked into going to the AMC Theater to watch Solo, and we thought that we were going to get this like could do this special like VIP package, and it was going to be more special because it was Disneyland, so it was a one-of-a-kind thing.
Sure.
Well, then we realized that this special package that we were looking at doing, you could do at any AMC theater across the nation. So it was like, oh. So I thought that just would be really fun if they could do, I don't know, put a Disney spin in it, throw a little bit of Disney magic in for the Disney premieres. So like when Wreck-It Ralph comes out, if you could go there and, I don't know, have your picture taken with, I don't know what you do, but something that's not done at all of the other theaters across the nation.
Sure.
That you could only have this experience at the Disneyland theater.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can see that. They're missing an opportunity there. But again, it's AMC that
That's
would have to
true.
Do this. It's not
that
Disney, unfortunately.
But still, I think they're missing an opportunity. They could have a really nice partnership.
Yeah.
Well, as you all know, the Disneyland Resort features popular hand-pulled candy canes during the holiday season. We did want to just note and let you guys know that there are a limited number of the candy canes that are going to be available for each release. We will have each of the release schedule. We will have that in our show notes. But something that's going to be something to note is that they're going to actually have wristbands, and the wristbands are going to be distributed accordingly at the park opening. They are limited. It's a while supplies last only thing with these wristbands. It is a limit of one wristband per guest, and that wristband will get you one candy cane per guest. So it sounds to me like they're trying to do something a little bit differently, kind of so that we don't have, like we had over the weekend, the nice long line in front of Jolly Holiday Bakery for the sipper. It sounds like they're trying to maybe avoid having all these people wait in these long lines, especially for the candy canes, because these are very limited. They don't, you know, it's not an endless supply. It's not like a sipper where you just order more.
Right.
You know, so they don't want, I can understand. I would not be a very happy guest if I was waiting in line for an hour plus, assuming and thinking I was going to get one of these candy canes and just to get to the window and say, oh, sorry, we just sold out. So I think it's nice that they're doing the wristbands.
Yeah. And I feel like this is also, I don't know if you've ever been to any Black Friday things where they like give out tickets to whatever item.
Yes.
And that is so much better than like the mob of people that have to like run in.
Exactly.
So I think if they give these out, I don't know if it's going to be at the turnstiles or by the location or whatnot, but I think that it's a great idea. In a couple days, tomorrow is the 21st. The first day that they go on sale is the 23rd. So we will know next week exactly how it goes.
This is, okay, side note, one of these candy canes is totally on my Disneyland bucket list. Have you ever had one of these candy canes,
no.
Tag? One of these times, I
maybe
will be
next
out
year.
There. No, not next year, because we're not going to be there in November.
Or December.
Anyways,
we might get an annual pass and go back.
One of these times, I'm going to base my Disneyland trip off of the candy cane schedule.
You gotta go. You gotta pick one of those days where there's a bunch, kind of like in a row here, like right here, December, like anytime in December,
3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th.
Yeah, that whole little week there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with Disney trivia. He'll read us the question. Teresa and I will attempt to answer them, and then James gives us the correct answers at the end of the show. So what do you have for us this week, James?
So our first question comes from Daniel in his magical book of Disney trivia.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I read this book, so I think I might have answers.
You read this book. He could have a different magical
book. He could.
Book.
Let's find out.
So guests regularly toss money into the pond in front of the castle.
Oh, yes.
Occasionally, Disney will take out that money, but what do they do with it?
They donate it to local charities.
I was going to say, so I was just reading something about money that was tossed some... I thought it had something to do with the Matterhorn, but maybe it was this. That they actually purchased seeing eye dogs with the money.
Next.
What inventor's designs inspired the newest Tomorrowland?
Ooh.
Jules Verne. Because it was based off... I think it was based off of the... like steampunky design from Disneyland Paris, and that was successful there, so they brought it over to Disneyland. So I think it's Jules Verne. Teresa?
I have no idea. I'm going to go with tags.
I need to have Teresa start answering first.
So as of 2015, how many babies are known to have been born in Disneyland?
Oh. In Disneyland.
Babies born in? I'm glad that question was not conceived.
I'll say ooh, 5.
I don't think we'll ever get the answer to that one, Teresa.
Yeah, we don't want to know. All right, so how many babies were born in Disneyland? I was thinking 12.
12? Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, so our last question, and this comes from TJ. TJ wants you to name 3 locations in Disneyland named after a song, as in a Disney song.
Named after a song?
Yes.
How many are there? I feel like I need an example.
3 places?
I believe there are 3.
There are only 3 places.
Okay. I know this is kind of cheating, but to kind of give us the right idea, can you give us 1 of the 3?
Sure. I will give you what I believe to be the easiest one, and that is the Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Oh, okay. That clarifies things a little bit.
This is a good question, because I'm not all too familiar with the names of different things, you know, like the specific names of, like, especially merchandise areas.
Is this limited to Disneyland Park, or does it include California Adventure?
Yeah, so both are in Disneyland,
okay.
The resort itself.
The other two that we're trying to think
the
of?
The resort or the park?
The park.
Okay.
Would you like a hint?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Sure.
One of them has food. One of them is a shop.
Okay, well, we're going to go with Small World.
Yeah, Small World for the shop, because it's a small world after all.
And the other one's food.
And a food. The Jolly Holiday Bakery.
Yes, good one. Yes. So we're going to go with the Small World Toy Shop
and the Jolly Holiday Bakery.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary.
All right. So stay tuned for the correct answers from James at the end of the show. All right. Well, for our discussion topic this week, we actually have another special guest on to talk about her time at Disneyland from the college program. So let's all welcome Shelly. Hi, Shelly. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you, Shelly, for being on the show. And you actually worked at Disneyland for a little while, and you were a member of the college program?
Yes, I worked for Disney for about 8 months doing the Disney College Program back in 2011.
Nice. So and how fun. How did you get involved with the college program?
Actually, that's a really weird story. Back then, a million years ago, Facebook really was only accessible like on a laptop. So I was just scrolling through Facebook one day and I saw a sidebarred ad that said Disney College Program. And I was like, what the heck is that? Let me click on this, Disney College. Like, I'm doing both. Like, let's find out what this is. And so I clicked on it, and I just went down a rabbit hole of informational videos and reviews and ended up applying. And after I applied, I got an invitation to do a phone interview the next day. So it kind of was like 0 to 60 in like an hour.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
you must look amazing kind of and so great on paper for them to be like, boom, we want her. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
What did you go to college for? Or what were you going to college for at the time?
Communication. So I have my communication degree.
Nice.
Sounds like a good fit. So we're going to back up a little bit, Shelly. And I would like to know what your Disney story is. So obviously, you were a fan of Disney and the parks long before you got excited about that little Facebook ad and decided to join. So just kind of tell us what made you fall in love with it.
Yes, I have been in love with Disney since I was a child. I remember standing on our coffee table in our living room belting out Part of Your World. I grew up until I was about 5 years old in Southern California. And so for every birthday, I would ask to go to Mickey Mouse's house, which meant I wanted to go to Disneyland. And being in Southern California, that was accessible to us. So I remember going as early as 2 years old, meeting some of the characters. And we went when like Beauty and the Beast had just come out. And so like I got to see the live action play of that. We went when Aladdin had come out, and we got to see the awesome parade that they had. And so I fell in love with Disney being in the park at such a young age, because at that young of an age, you're so impressionable. And I thought everything was real. And like, I am in Mickey Mouse's house. Like, can you believe this? Like, I'm standing where Mickey Mouse brushes his teeth.
That's so cute. So you really kind of grew up with Disney and grew up in the parks.
Yeah, up until about the age of five. And then we moved to the Midwest. So I hadn't been back until I was maybe 17, and I went to a grad night with my best friend who still lived in California. And then my love for Disney kind of just went overboard, and I became obsessed with it because we moved back close enough to where I could drive 6 hours to go anytime I wanted. So I kind of got obsessed.
So just out of curiosity, because we live in the Midwest, where did you kind of move in the Midwest?
I grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So she was a little bit further away than we are.
Right.
So we've got that going for us, kind of.
Sort of. It's only a couple hours difference at that point.
Until she moved back out west.
Right.
Next question that we always like to ask everyone is, so when you enter Disneyland, the first day of your trip, I feel like we haven't asked, but I'm assuming everybody goes to Disneyland the first day. They don't go to Disney California Adventure the first day. But we're assuming you're going to Disneyland the first day. So when you get up to the hub and that big decision happens of which way to go, do you like to go left towards Adventureland, straight towards Fantasyland, or right towards Tomorrowland?
It changes, and it depends on who I'm with. So if I'm with my husband, We like to go straight towards Fantasyland because that's where our favorite rides are. His being Peter Pan and mine being the teacups. If I'm with my girlfriends from the Disney College program, we usually every 2 to 3 years like to do a girls trip back to the parks. And if I'm with them, it's where do we want to get a fast pass to first? So sometimes we do start in DCA and we'll go get a Cars Land fast pass, ride Cars Land, and then go grab some breakfast at like Flo's or something. So it depends on who I'm with.
I like that it changes. That it's not. I'm such a creature of habit. I always go the same way and I always try to hit the same ride. I need to like try and break myself out of that sometimes, I think.
Well, unfortunately for our trip, we both go the same way.
I know. Well, but we've been learning, though. You're only like the second or third person that's told us something other than left towards Adventureland.
Yeah.
So clearly, we're like part of the, I don't know, part of the herd. Everybody seems to go left. So I think I'm going to have to break apart from the pack and try a different route next time.
Something.
Well, and I think it's a myth. Everybody says like, oh, you should go left because everybody goes right. But really, everybody goes left.
That's what I think. That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I heard that myth as well, that everybody goes right. And I'm like, yeah, maybe the few people who are like, I got to get to Space Mountain.
Or I got to go check out the new Matterhorn queue.
Oh, have you guys seen videos for that?
Yes. Yes,
oh, it looks so good. I can't wait to go.
It does. I really like how it's got a theming to it now. Whereas before, you just kind of were, I don't know, felt like you were standing out in the middle of the walkway, mm-hmm. watching the world go by as you were wrapped around the mountain. So
I'm glad
it's more confined, you know, kind of put together now.
I did feel like before that it was a good use of the space, because as long as you're one row deep around the mountain, that's a good use of that. You know what I mean? Because it's not like a big chunk of land.
True.
It's just kind of, but it definitely had the least amount of theming of of any queue, with the exception of maybe like Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, because that also doesn't really have a themed queue.
I can't wait to see it in person.
Yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, me neither. I'm excited.
All right, and it sounds like the next question was favorite attraction, which you already answered, which I think you're our first teacups person. Usually we have people tell us they avoid the teacups.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite teacup that you always have to ride?
It's always been purple, because purple goes the fastest.
Oh, insider tip.
And me and my dad love the teacups. I've loved it ever since I was little. That's our ride. We always go on together. Even to this day, I'm almost 30 years old. And if I go with my dad, we're going straight to the teacups.
I love it. That's great.
Now, I feel like a lot of people don't do that. So you must be like one of the first people on every morning.
Yeah, I think people avoid it, like especially like after meals and stuff, because they don't want to get sick. But I don't have a problem with that. So, I mean, that's the first thing I try to do. Unless I'm with like other people who don't enjoy the teacups, then I'm like, okay, well, let's go ride your favorite ride. But I'll go on the teacups by myself. I don't even care.
So what's your backup attraction? So like if teacups are like under refurbishment or something, what's your second favorite ride?
I really do love Peter Pan. I love all of the new visuals that they've added to it over the last couple years. It's just made it so much more magical. I really like all of the Fantasyland dark rides. That was my homeland when I was working there. So I kind of have like a special feeling for it, even more so now that I have my own son. I can't wait to take him on Peter Pan and like have him look at everything and like just be in awe of how like amazing and magical that amazing ride is.
I am like even more excited to talk to her now that we know where she worked in the park. I think that would be, you know, I don't know if there's really a bad place to work in Disneyland as far as if you're going to, you know, what land you're assigned to. But I really think that Fantasyland would just be probably the most magical land to be in. You get to hang out with princesses all day. You get to be with the storybook characters and just really the classic. You're in the classic area, the original area of the park. I mean, how cool is that?
For me, I'm not a huge fan of the costuming for the men in Fantasyland, but otherwise,
it's all about the clothes.
Are you a fan of any of the costume in any of the park?
Yeah, really.
I am actually. I am.
It's not the of what? What's your favorite?
I love Adventureland. I think that the Skipper's outfits and the Indiana Jones outfits, and honestly, and I know that I'm probably one of the few, but I actually like the costumes that they've come up with recently for like Space Mountain.
Interesting.
And the monorail.
Well, of course, the monorail.
Right. Oh, and the train.
I like how he just
the conductor.
Oh, and this, and this, and this.
I really like the train conductors, and I really like the skippers. Those are, like, classic. Like, when I think of Disney, like, costuming in my mind, like, I can picture those, like, perfectly, and they don't look too out of place because a lot of them look dated.
I, of course, am partial to the costuming for the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, that is also a good
one. I do like their costuming over there. Except I don't know if I'd want to wear it if I was the girl. I don't know if I'd like that little headpiece. And it looks like it's a lot of clothing on a warm day.
Exactly. It looks so hot.
I wish they'd update the costuming for Pirates of the Caribbean because I feel like that does look a little outdated. I feel like they could modernize that to be more piratey. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So you said that you worked in Fantasyland. That was kind of your home land. So what attractions did you work there? And then of the attractions you worked there, what was your favorite and least favorite attractions to work?
I actually didn't work attractions. I was in merchandising.
Oh, okay.
Well, here I am just assuming that you worked in attraction. So where did you work?
I actually worked Fantasyland and Toontown because Toontown only has the Gag Factory. We're kind of just bunched all together. So I worked in the Gag Factory. I worked in the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique doing the merchandising, not as a fairy godmother, unfortunately. But I did get to see many, many princess transformations, so that was fun.
Well, even so, I feel like that would be just a fun place.
It was so sweet, and I like getting to watch them like pick out their outfits and then going and like changing and coming back out, and they're like, there's Rapunzel, oh my god. And then I worked at the Enchanted Chamber, which is inside of the castle. I think they might have changed the name of it since I've worked there. I don't know what it is now. And then all the carts, like the merchandise carts that are outside, so like Stromboli's Wagon, and then the cart near the castle. And I also worked Small World area, so all of those shops over there as well.
Wow, they moved you around a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place.
What was your favorite place of those places you named off? What was your favorite place to kind of be generally, if you could pick?
My favorite place to be, an afternoon shift starting at 2:30 in the Small World area. There's a like an outdoor store. It's like a whole circle, and you get a perfect view of the 3 o'clock parade.
Oh, perfect. There you go. Yeah, and it's kind of elevated too, isn't it? I never thought of that.
Yes. Yeah. So you get to watch the parade. Not a lot of people are shopping because they're watching the parade. So you can kind of stand there and also watch the parade for, you know, the 15, 20 minutes that it's going by. So that was my favorite spot.
Now, I'm sure that people think about this a lot. And this is a good question that I'd like to ask too. For the 8 months that you worked there, did you ever get tired of watching the parade, like where you're like, oh, this is like the 15th, 20th time I've seen this now, and I'm kind of irritated with it, or I'm done, or I don't need to watch it anymore? Or was it always kind of magical every time it went by?
I think if it was a different parade, I might have felt that way, because I know some parades in the past have not been the best parades. But the year that I was there, Disney was kind of doing like revitalizing themselves. It was the year that the new Star Tours came out, Goofy Sky School, The Little Mermaid, and Mickey's Sensational Parade, which is an amazing parade. Anybody who's seen it will tell you, like, the music is great, the dancers are great, the floats are awesome. And so I never got tired of seeing that parade.
Well, good for you that the Sensational Parade is coming back in January.
Mm-hmm. I know, 90th. I'm so excited. My husband and I are taking our son for the first time in February. He'll be 1.5. Aww. And I'm excited that he gets to see a lot of things that I saw while I was working there that have been gone for a little while.
That's really cool.
Yeah. You know what? I think Sensational is one of the parades that I never actually saw. Like, when I had been there when it was playing, but I never actually watched it. So I'll have to look it up.
Oh, you're going to have to in August when you guys go.
Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully it should still be going in August. Oh, yeah. Let's hope it is. I don't know. Yeah. Unless they've completely changed Halloween time next year for whatever weird reason.
I doubt it.
Oh gosh, please don't.
Yeah, right there. It's July 4th, July 5th, Halloween time. Got it.
So the 8 months that you worked there, what was the time frame like? From what part of the year to what part of the year was that?
I actually worked there from January 8th until August 11th.
So you did not work there during Halloween time.
I did not, but I've been, because my birthday's in October, I've been for Halloween time like a million times. Oh. My husband told me that we're not allowed to go for my birthday anymore because he would like to see Haunted Mansion as regular Haunted Mansion.
You know, Vern has the same thing because unfortunately now James he's too. Seen it, but the first couple of times we went was during the Halloween time, so he only saw Haunted Mansion Holiday. But this spring he did get to see it, and we're halfway through the Haunted Mansion. He's like, oh, I just realized this. You know, he just realized halfway through that it was slightly different than the holiday version. I don't know why it took that long, but that's okay.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know. But do you have a favorite version, or do you? I like both. I like both for what they are. I know some people are very anti Haunted Mansion Holiday. Other people want it to be Haunted Mansion Holiday all year round. What do you kind of
think? I think the Haunted Mansion Holiday is great. I love how they incorporate it into the existing mansion. I think it's reskinned very, very well. But I will have to say the original Haunted Mansion is my favorite.
Yeah, there's something about the classic. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think it's a good compliment. So yeah. You wouldn't want it to go away necessarily.
Oh, God, no. I love the spookiness and the feeling that I get when I'm like riding in the doom buggy by myself, because I did do that a lot as a cast member, just going to the park by yourself. So I like the spookiness that you get when you're on the regular Haunted Mansion with not being too scary.
You know, we just had a listener message in and ask us about going to the parks by themselves. So the fact that you brought that up, this would be a good time probably to talk about that. When you go by yourself, like, what is that like? What is kind of different? Is it awkward? What are some of the advantages or disadvantages? Can you kind of just talk a little bit about that? Because this person who messaged in, I didn't really have to. I've never been by myself, although I kind of romanticize the idea of going by myself, because you could go and do whatever you want. There's single rider lines on things, so you can get on things a lot quicker. I feel like finding those little spots and people. I love people watching, so like finding little spots and people watching is easier to do when you're just by yourself. So, what was kind of your experience with going by yourself?
I loved it. At first, the first couple times you do it, it's a little awkward. You're used to being with. I know us, we would go with a group of, you know, 5-10 people. And so going down in person can be a little scary and a little awkward, but I loved it. By the end of my program, I kind of preferred if I wasn't going with my best friend who was my roommate, I like to go by myself. You can go to the rides that you want to ride. If you don't want to ride a specific ride because you're not that big of a fan of it, you don't have to ride it. Sometimes I would go into the park just to watch Fantasmic and then go home.
That would be
good choice.
You can get, right? You can get through the park much quicker than trying to navigate with two people or even three. You can, you know, take a long stroll around the park on the train or get in the single rider lines and, you know, go a couple times when if you're in a line with three or four people, let's say for Space Mountain, you're kind of sitting there for a while waiting.
So, and even if you're more social, I have never been myself either, but I would think I always get into conversations with people either, you know, while we're standing waiting for an attraction, or this last time I met this really nice mother and daughter that were sitting next to us for Fantasmic, and you just start up random I just start up random conversations with people, and you know that you're like with like-minded people, because especially adults that aren't there with children, you know for sure that they are there because they just love the park. It's not that they're there because maybe their kids really wanted to be, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's fun to meet new people too.
Yeah.
No, it definitely is. And I liked going by myself and making magic happen for guests and them not knowing that I'm a cast member and they just think that I'm a regular guest like they are. Disneyland does the paper fast passes. And so I would go through and get a fast pass and I would see, you know, a couple and they're trying to figure out what they want to do. And I'm like, hey, you know, here's my fast pass. Go for a ride. Do the single rider and they'll let you in. Like, it's fine. So I like making magic for guests when I was by myself. I didn't feel as awkward as I would if I was with other people trying to make magic. So, I mean, that's something that I would do when I was by myself a lot.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is really cool. So people that have not worked at the parks, what is the most surprising thing you learned working there that most people don't know or aren't aware of?
probably how disorganized backstage is, and like getting from the cast parking lot to your work location, depending on where that is, can be very hectic and sometimes very time consuming. Because my check-in was at the back of the park. And when you first arrive there, they give you like this parking pass to park in cast parking. And they gave me the Catella lot, which is the most furthest parking from my location. So I would have to leave my apartment like an hour, hour and a half, depending on the day, just to get to work on time. So
wow.
I would say that is probably like people don't realize that it takes you that long just to get clocked in to work.
And the fact that, I mean, we've talked about it a lot on the podcast, especially recently, about the pay working at the parks and whatnot. And the fact that you don't get paid for that hour, hour and a half time getting to your check-in spot. I mean, you're not paid until you get there. So the fact that there are so many people who want to work at Disneyland who accept a low wage, or, you know, what people consider a low wage, and you have to put in all of that time just to get there, and yet you still work there. And the fact that cast members like yourself still put on that smiling face, and they're still so friendly and make magical moments for everybody, even when maybe your own personal life right now is not being magical, you know, outside the gates. It's just amazing, and I think that people don't acknowledge that cast members that there's all, you know, they have a life too, and all that stuff's going on, and they don't acknowledge that, you know, this person who just created a magical experience for you, maybe right now is not going through a magical time, but still can provide that experience. So, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, cast members are rock stars, really, truly.
Thank you.
I complain that I have a 10-minute drive.
Yeah, it's true.
A 10-minute drive, and you were driving an hour, you know, it was an hour, hour and a half.
It's hard to make magic when you're not feeling very magical. But yeah. I would always try to remember, like, I'm in Fantasyland, I'm in Disneyland every single day. Like, who gets to say that? But these other people with me, like, I've dreamed of working at Disneyland my whole life, and here I finally am. How can I be so upset about whatever is happening? You know, my roommate ate my food, or, you know, I forgot to bring a water. Like, no, like, I am in Disneyland. Like, I'm getting paid to stand here and tell people to get out of the planter boxes so we can watch the parade. Like, no, but not a lot of people get to say that. So I would just try to remind myself, like, how lucky I was, even though I wasn't getting paid very well. And other guests can be really mean, and, you know, just trying to remember, like, hey, they're spending a lot of money to be here. This is their vacation. This might be the only time they ever get to come. Like, just put a smile on your face and say, I'm sorry you're upset. What can I do to make this situation better? And just try to turn whatever negative moment they're having into a magical moment, so I can turn around and be like, you know what? I made magic for at least one person today, and my job's done.
So as a cast member, How did Disney empower you to make those magical things happen for guests? Was there anything, like, through training and stuff, did they give you the ability? For instance, okay, this is totally non-Disney related, but it's kind of a good example. We have a company here called Quick Trip, and they operate gas stations and convenience stores. And I've talked to a few people that I know that have worked there, and they are empowered where if there's any type of inconvenience, whatever items they have, you know, that they're buying in this convenience store, you know, like a hot dog or a soda or whatever, they're allowed to just have a great day. Like, that's on us this time because there was a problem or whatever. How does Disney do so? Like, what do they do to empower you guys to make people have a magical day when something maybe isn't so magical for that guest?
We do have 3 days of, like, Disney training, which is not like on the job training. And they call those traditions. So they teach you what the Disney look is, you know, how to point with your two fingers, teach you kind of the way of Walt, you know, what Walt wanted the park to be, how clean he wanted it to be. And they teach you how to walk and pick up trash, which, yes, you have to be taught that or else you're tripping on your feet. But I mean, they teach you those kinds of things. Disney does have a policy within merchandising where if something happens, we can sprinkle some pixie dust on some things and create magical moments. Like if a balloon gets popped, replacing the balloon, or if the ice cream gets knocked over, replacing the ice cream or things like that. I mean, we can replace merchandise and stuff as needed if you know, it's absolute dire that this little girl gets this Mickey Mouse headband, but her mom doesn't have enough to pay for it. I mean, there are moments, and you should check with your lead before you do so. So right. I'll put that disclaimer in there. You can't just give away free merchandise to everybody. But you can, you know, with a little bit of discretion, like let your leads know, like, hey, this is what's happening. I'd really like to make some magic. And most of the time they say, go for it.
Wow,
and there had been times where, you know, a bubble maker was life or death for this 3-year-old. And I'm like, I have an open bubble maker. We replace them every single day because they get so disgusting. And I'm like, you know what? Here you go. Here's my bubble maker. Have some fun. Here's a little bit of magic. Like, right. I know you really wanted this and your mom said no, but I'm not your mom. So here you go.
Well, and I think that's why awesome. People pay so much to go to Disney, because there is that chance that you're going to have that magical moment with the cast member. And it is the people that work in the parks that really do make the magic for everybody. And I think that people don't think about it. You know, they come in and, you know, with cast members we've spoken with before and books we've read by cast members, you know, a lot of people, you know, they check their brain at the door and they come in because it's, you know, this whimsical world and they just don't think about reality or anything. And it's the cast members that are making this magic happen. So that's super awesome. Now, to our listeners, don't go take advantage of the poor cast members with free stuff or whatever, or make things dire when they're not dire. But that's really cool that Disney does empower that to happen. And I had actually heard about the balloon thing before.
Which I think even the balloon thing, I think, is very generous and very unexpected. I wouldn't think that I'd get my balloon replaced. That's just what it is, having a balloon. Sometimes they pop. Yeah. But that's real. I'm just absolutely amazed and in awe that you guys were able to make those decisions to have that extra little bit of magic and actually, you know, kind of comp some merchandise, because that's huge. But then again, you know, how many bubble makers are you selling a day? So maybe giving, you know, making someone's day with one isn't really that big of a thing on the business side, but just on the consumer side, that's huge.
Yeah. Well, I just about like a balloon, right? Like they sell those balloons for, I don't even know how much they are now, 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
That balloon probably cost them like pennies.
But still.
So giving them a free balloon, like they've already made so much, you know, they could give away 100 balloons.
They don't have to do that though. That's
true.
Amazing.
They don't have to do it. But that's why you go to Disney, because there's the opportunity that if something happens, your day isn't ruined.
So, Shelley, what were some of the pros and cons of working in kind of the retail side of things over in Fantasyland and Toontown? I think one of the pros was the parade watching. That's a pro for me.
Yes, definitely the parade watching. Another pro is just being able to make magic happen more often, I think, than people who are in custodial or in attractions. Like like attractions is very focused on the safety. So they're not as prone to make magic happen because they're worried about, okay, how many people do I have on this ride? Is everybody buckled in? You know, et cetera. Right. With merchandise, you're just trying to make sure that people aren't stealing. you have a little more leeway with making magic. A lot of locations will let you wear trading pins. And so whenever my leads had pins that we could wear, I always made sure I had a lanyard on, or, they have like these little like waist things that you could wear have a bunch of pins on. So I always try to make sure that I have pins.
Can I pause you for a second? I want to go back to the pin trading. So if you were a cast member there and you wanted to do the pin trading, were those like you trading pins personally, or were those just ones that the company provided so that you could, you know, just kind of have that extra interaction with the guests when they were there? Or was it a combination of the two?
The pins that Disney gives you, and they're exclusive pins, like you can only get them from cast members. So sometimes we would run out of pins and we wouldn't have any to trade because given to us. I would never bring my own pins to trade because, I mean, I really like my own pins. So I don't just give them away, because you have to trade. If somebody says, hey, I want to trade you, can I have that pin? You have to trade them. There's no
ifs,
ands, or buts. If they try to give you a pin that's not like an actual Disney trading pin, I would still trade. Just let my manager know, like, hey, this is a legit one, and we would just toss it, because I'm not going to try to tell the 7-year-old, like, hey, your pin is fake, I'm not trading you. Like, that's not magical. Like, yeah, sure, have it. Like, I'm going to toss this.
Was that like a rampant thing where people were bringing in counterfeit pins and trying to trade a lot, or was that not that common?
I maybe had one or two the whole 8 months that I was there. I mean, I didn't see a lot. And maybe there was more and I let them get through because I just don't know what they look like.
Well, that's really neat, though, that's basically just an extra, you know, an extra magic thing. And it's not like it was your personal investment every time that you were swapping pins with people.
No, I loved it. Probably one of my most memorable making magic moments happened while I was pin trading. That's probably why it's my biggest pro. So I was at my favorite store, which is the round. I don't know what the name of it is. I feel so bad.
Oh, yeah, it's a small world store,
but it's like the one right next to it that's totally outside. It's like a circle and everything's outside. But anyway, so I was getting ready for the parade and I'm just straightening everything up, and a little boy and his family come up to me and they asked to look at my pins. So I got down on one knee and I was showing him my pins, because that's another Disney thing that they teach you. Like, if you're talking to a child, get down on their level. And so I'm bending down and I'm talking to him about these pins. Parents had bought him a package at the beginning of the day of the starter pins, and he hadn't opened it yet. And so I was explaining what pin trading was, how do you do it, who can you do it with, and just explaining all the details. And we spent about 5 or 10 minutes just going over everything and him really looking at my pins. And then the parade started, and, you know, his parents were like, okay, come on, let's go get our spot for the parade. And so they left. So I didn't think anything of it. I you know, finished doing what I was doing and, you know, back to work. After the parade, he comes back to me and he's like, hey, can I look at your pins again? I'm like, of course, not a problem. So I get down on one knee and we're talking again. And he's like, I really like this pin. And it was like a Simba alphabet pin, which was exclusive that summer. They released the whole alphabet with characters on them. And he's like, I really like this Simba pin. I'm like, okay, well, what one of your pins do you want to trade? And he said, which one of my pack do you want? And I'm like, oh, well, I've never had anybody ask me what pin I wanted.
Right.
And I'm like, well, let's just take this Goofy pin. And he's like, okay. And he was like, do you think it would be okay if you signed my autograph book and we took a picture?
Oh.
And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, well, you're my first pin trade and I want to capture this moment. And I'm getting teary eyed now.
Yeah.
Nobody had asked me for my autograph. So,
that's so sweet.
I was like, of course, like, let's take a picture. I took a picture with him and his family and I signed his autograph book. And so I hope somewhere out there he looks at this autograph book when he's older and he's like, oh, wow, I remember the, you know, Shelly from Small World area trading pens with me. That was my most memorable making magic.
Who knows? Maybe he's listening now, Shelly. Wouldn't that be pretty cool?
That would be cool. According to Google Street View, because it wasn't listed in the Disneyland app and I couldn't see it on whatever, it looks like it's called Fantasy Fair Gifts. Does that sound right?
Oh, yes, that does sound right.
You know what's funny? I honestly never, I don't even remember this being a merchandise location. I don't think, like, I always think of, when I think of the park, I always think of the big, It's a Small World toy shop. I don't think about this one. But there's a few of these along this parade route that are like this, where they've got the little shops along the parade route. Because the other one that I always remembered and seems a little more permanent was Le Petit Chalet. Because I've actually bought stuff from there, and that's down by the Matterhorn more.
That was a really magical, really magical story. And the cool thing about that to me is not only did you create a little magic for him, but that guest created some magic for you too, which I'm sure really doesn't happen that often, that the guests create magic for the cast members.
Right. And I think that is probably why, like, I remember it so well, is because that never happened. And I worked there for 8 months. Almost every single day. I mean, we do get time off, but not a lot, especially in the summer when it's so busy and there's grad nights. And that was the year that the new Pirates movie came out. So a lot of stuff happened that year. So we were pretty busy. When the guests make magic for the cast member, it is extra special.
So were you there when was that one of the Pirate movies that they did one of the premieres in the park?
Yes, they did do the whole premiere and everything at Disneyland.
Okay, you got to tell us about that. That sounds like that would be really cool to be
there. Yeah, did you work during that?
I worked up to the premiere. I didn't get to work the actual premiere just because, like, I wasn't on Main Street and, like, nothing really was having to do with, like, Fantasyland. So I did work. They had a little cart between, like, the walkway behind Big Thunder Mountain going to Fantasyland. Yep. They had a little cart there, and we would get to dress up like a pirate. So, like, wear the Pirates of the Caribbean costume and work the cart. And, like, we would get, like, these extra, like, these tokens that we can buy stuff within, like, the Disney cast member store. So that's something that people probably don't know. Like, if I make magic for you and you go to guest relations and you tell them that I made magic for you, that cast member gets, like, these tokens that we can spend in the cast member store. Whenever somebody makes magic for you, everybody go to guest relations and let somebody know. Because it does mean something to the cast members. When we're working at this pirate cart, the more that you talk like a pirate and the managers could hear you, like, as they're walking by, like, making sure that the till is correct and things like that, you would get these coins. And so I made so much on these coins that I was able to get, like, a special, like, cast member lanyard just for talking silly like a pirate. And I thought I was ridiculous and I looked so silly in this pirate costume, but I was just having the most fun time, like, getting out of my element and, like, being out of Fantasyland, that is kind of like role playing as a pirate. I thought it was a lot of fun.
What are some, like, tips that you would have for guests that are in the park to kind of, like, make their merchandise experience maybe a little bit better, or anything that, like, you wish guests would know or would do that would make your life easier, I guess, as a cast member? Do you have anything along those lines?
I know you guys have mentioned it before, but, like, the holding of the bags. There's actually a location in Small World that you can leave, like, your big purchases or your breakables or things you don't want to carry around. You can leave them with the cast member. And there's a place, like, secret, like, behind the scenes, there's a little secret door that goes underground. And it's, like, all the storage for all of the stuff that is in that store. And we can leave the bags down there, and at the end of the park day, you can come back and you can pick them up, or we can have them sent to the front of the park at, like, the newspaper stand, mm-hmm. and you can pick them up there as well.
So is that service available to all park guests, or is it only for the hotel guests?
Nope, that's for everybody. We can send your stuff back to your hotel room if you are staying on property. But yeah, anybody can leave your bags there as long as it's merchandise that has been purchased from the park. We can't hold your personal items.
Yeah, that's because if something were to happen to it, you could replace it. Where if I brought my really expensive whatever, you can't. Yeah. You're not. Disney's not going to write you a check for it.
Yeah, exactly. My next tip would be to watch the parade from the Small World Mall. A lot of people like to watch the parade, like, on Main Street as it's coming through, but I feel like it's really crowded and you can never really see anything, and not a lot of people think to watch the parade in the Small World Mall, which is, like, the stepping area, and it kind of looks like a stage over there, like, in front of Small World. That's mm-hmm. the best place to watch the parade, because you can be elevated and not have to sit, like, street level, and you can see mm-hmm. the entire parade without anything being, you know, in your way.
Ooh, that's
that's what that whole area was designed for. Back when Light Magic was going to premiere after the Electrical Parade, that's they did all that work in the Small World Mall area to make it elevated so people could see. And I think that people, it kind of gets forgotten, because I think people think of a parade and they think of stuff. They think Main Street for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's too crowded over there. Go to Small World. And I would suggest Small World as well for the fireworks. Like, I know you guys like to watch Tinkerbell and Dumbo, like, over the castle, but I like watching the fireworks from Small World because they're coming off from behind Toontown. So you're, like, up close and personal watching the fireworks right back there. So I like that. I mean, you can go to Main Street to, like, see the whole view, but I like Small. That's, like, my favorite area, if you couldn't tell.
Well, and it's gorgeous during the holidays. The lights they do on the front of It's a Small World is just amazing.
Yes, it's so pretty, and it's so quiet, and a lot of people don't go back there. Like, they'll ride Small World, and then they'll leave. Like, they don't really go to Toontown, or they're getting off the train and just, you know, walk through it. There's not a lot of people back there. I like to, you know, grab a pretzel and, you know, sit down and just people watch, like you said, in that area, because everybody's just walking around. It's not really busy.
I was going to say, and as we've talked about numerous times on the show before, that is increasingly harder to find a not busy area of the park. So that's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
Before we let you go, we do have one final question for you, which hopefully we talked about it before and you already had your answer. So I can't wait to see what it is. But if you were to work at Disneyland again, what would you do there and why would you choose to do that?
Photo pass. I would have loved to be a photo pass photographer. Being able to be on Main Street and capturing like people's engagements and like just family photos in front of a castle, or getting their reaction when they first see Mickey Mouse and the princesses. Like, I thought that would have been so much fun, like more guest interaction and like taking pictures and capturing like these magical moments that they're going to have forever. I thought that would have been so much fun.
That is a really, really cool position to have, I think, in the park too, because you kind of, and I feel like you're assigned to an area, yes, but you're not like stuck behind a counter or something. Yeah. You have a little bit more freedom. You can kind of walk around and, you know, and the thing is I've always had great interactions with the PhotoPass people. They're very, very engaging and they're very good. If you want to do, you know, I've had them take photos with my phone too, as well as having them do it on the card. So then that way I have access to the picture right away. And everyone's so accommodating and they're always so nice. Plus, I think it'd be fun. Tag and I were talking about this because last time they were there, they have, you know, those little extra magic things that they can do. So they make you do these ridiculous things and you're posing like so oddly and you're like, what in the world is, why am I, you know, what are we doing here? And then you get to see why they had you do that and how perfectly that pose fits whatever that extra magic embellishment is that they had, you know, that they kind of placed in there with you. So I think that's really cool. I like that answer a lot, Shelley. That's a good answer.
It's probably my husband's least favorite part is doing the silly poses. And he's like, what the heck? Like, first of all, he doesn't like taking pictures. So sitting there taking 15 pictures, doing silly poses is like his absolute least favorite thing to do.
Sure,
like, come
sure.
on, we got rides to go on. We have things, you know, churros to eat. Let's go. Stop taking these silly pictures. So but I thought that would have been a lot of fun.
You know, and since they did, so the first time I really got into the PhotoPass people was when we went to Disney World, and it was, we bought the picture package because, so it was like all the pictures off of all the attractions and the PhotoPass people and everything for the whole trip for like, I think it was like $140 or something like that. And now that they add it with MaxPass as part of the thing too, and you can get it right away on your phone, I love the fact that like it just makes it so much easier and they're all over the place and you don't have to bring a big fancy camera. I mean, your smartphone takes good pictures, but you know, a nice camera, you know, it's hard to beat a nice camera. You're right, their personalities are great and they do make those magical moments for people. So way back when, before they offered a lot of the things that PhotoPass people do now, I remember not liking it because I felt like it was like when I'd walk through the mall and you'd have those people at the booths who'd just be like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to take a picture? And it's like, no, because I'm not going to buy it and I don't want to waste your time. And I just want to get moving. But now I feel like it's such a good value that when we were in Disney World and people were, the PhotoPass people were like, hey, you want to take a picture? We're like, sure. Like, so I like it. And that'd be awesome. So would you ever work at Disney again? Is that in the cards for you, or are you kind of done?
I think that is a dream that I have lived and something that I will cherish forever that has happened, but I don't think I would ever do it again. Just because I have a son now, he's 1.5, I'm married, establishing my career. But I mean, I made some of the most amazing memories that I'll ever have in my whole entire life. And I'll be able to tell my son things while we're walking through Disney that nobody else knows. I've made the most amazing friends who were my roommates and people that I worked at Disneyland with, who I'm still very, very close with today. My roommate, Emily, she is my most bestest friend. We were in each other's weddings. She's the godmother to my son. I thank Disney for bringing her into my life, because without the college program, I would have never met her. And she's just the most amazing person. So I thank Disney for that. But I think my
time for working at Disney has passed, but I'll cherish the memories for a lifetime.
Well, that's good to hear. I know I feel like my time for working for Disney might have passed too. I've wanted to work for Disney for a long time, but I just feel at this point I really don't have any interest in moving. And of course, I live in the Midwest, and I'm not going to work at a Disney park if I live in the Midwest.
You don't want to travel that far every day for
Yeah,
work.
Right. Maybe if I win the big lotto, right? But I do still want to work there. I mean, there's so much that... But then I'm also afraid, you know, which is why I always ask the question, you know, how does it, you know, does it ruin the magic for you once you've worked there? And some people say it does ruin the magic and that it becomes a job then. And so when something's your job, it's not quite as fun or magical. So I kind of worry about that because I don't want to take something that for me is very happy, like a really happy place and a fun place to be in a magical place, and turn it into, oh, that's where I worked or that's where my job is. But maybe James and I have talked about it, and maybe retirement age, maybe that's, I'll be one of those people that, you know, works at the turnstiles or something, when I'm retired.
Right. And that is a thing. While I was going through the college program, it can get very unmagical, because you do know so much, and you are there every single day. But going back with my girlfriends and with my family, I feel like it actually made it more magical. Just because I do know all of these things and ride Space Mountain with the lights on. Oh. Yeah. Tour Walt's apartment. I was able to do a walkthrough of the Haunted Mansion. So like physically like walking the track of Haunted Mansion. Man. We got to ride Tower of Terror with the lights on.
Oh.
And with no sound. So, I mean, we got to do all these amazing things. So I think it just made it more magical for me.
Okay, so am I too old to sign up for this college? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
you're never too old. As long as you're enrolled in college, you can apply.
There you go.
Teresa's like, I'm gonna and I got to go take one
Yeah, one class. Just no, I'm just kidding. I would not be the model Disney cast member because I would be too distracted and trying to just ride the attractions instead of actually working.
Well, that's why you'd have to work in something like merchandising.
Yeah,
or that,
they would have to
something.
Make yeah something maybe on Main Street where I'm not near right next to any of the attractions and I'm not tempted.
Well, you know what I think would be a perfect job for you, Teresa?
Oh,
I think a guest relations like tour guide, because you get to ride the attractions with people and you get to talk about them, so you have to like know everything about it, and you get to wander around the park. So basically, you're a paid guest who gets to share your love with
perfect.
Guests.
Sign me up.
And you also get to meet celebrities.
Oh, that's true. I would be that one, though. I'm so bad when it comes with celebrities. I could like be walking around with some huge name and be like, I'm sorry, you're who? Okay. Well, let's go. Maybe that would be a good thing, though.
Maybe. Well, Shelley, thank you very much for being on the show this week.
Yes, thank you, Shelley.
And I'm sure our listeners we always love hearing stuff from cast members. So thank you for making the time to come on and share your magical moments. And you shared some really cool stuff with us. Like, I think that story of you and the young guest that you signed his autograph book,
yes.
I think that's something I'm going to remember for a long time. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you for bringing that up, too. Because that makes me want to, when I'm there, because I'm sorry, but I do think that everyone kind of sort of takes cast members a little bit for granted, or maybe they're a little bit invisible when we're there, because I get so tunnel vision, and I'm just so excited to be there, that maybe I don't recognize, you know, that I do thank cast members and all that sort of thing, but it makes me want to kind of just go, like, even more above and beyond, and do more than just saying thank you to cast members to try, because you're right, you spend your whole day trying to make someone else's day wonderful. So little small things that we do for cast members, I'm sure, go a long way for them too.
Right. And I challenge both of you, when you guys are there in August, every single day when you're in the parks at the end of your day, to go to guest relations in either park and leave a cast member compliment.
I do that all the
really
time.
It really goes a long way. And it means a lot to the cast members who receive them and get a little bit of acknowledgement, like, hey, a week ago, you did this magical thing for this guest and they acknowledged that, like, way to go. It just makes them feel so much better and like they're doing a good job. So,
right.
To any of your listeners who don't do that, go ahead and do that and just make a little bit of magic for somebody else while you're enjoying the park.
Well, you know, and it's so easy to do now, too, because this last trip, I was trying so hard to try and remember the people that stood out, the cast members that stood out and did, you know, things really, either did their job really well or maybe they went above and beyond for us, trying to just remember their names. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, hello, you've got a phone with you. You can type this information in. You don't have to try and remember this person's name until you get up to the front. So I actually started like a little note tab in my phone for that trip and was writing down the different people's names and maybe, you know, because you don't have their first and last name. So I would say, you know, I don't know, Steven over in Adventureland or, you know, whoever.
Yeah, I'd make sure I write down the venue, the cast member name, the time, and like where they were at. So like for me, if I had something like, let's say I had the person who's, you know, who taking fast passes at Indiana Jones, I write, you know, Shelley at the, you know, fast pass taking place at, you know, 145 at Indiana Jones. And then even if they can't figure, you know, even if there's 100 Shelleys working that day, they could like narrow it down to who that was and get it to the right person. So mm-hmm. We will definitely do that, Shelley.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, perfect.
Well, thank you, Shelley, because I know you, a couple of things you said actually are going to stick with me and I'm going to try and do them the next time we're there. I'm going to watch the fireworks from the It's a Small World mall area and also try and go and catch the parade over there too, because I think that's a great suggestion and really something that I wouldn't have thought of myself either, because for some reason you're right, we kind of forget about that area up there.
Yep.
Okay, thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, did you enjoy listening to this episode of Disneyland Weekly? Well, you can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to the supporter chat, like we always talk about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Doug S. and head over to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
If you're going to the park soon and want to be wearing some Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to DisneylandWeekly.com/store to pick some up. Be on the lookout. The holiday logo will be out there for you to purchase soon. We do also have a new line of shirts and merchandise that we're working on that don't necessarily have to do with our logo, but are kind of themed on different Disneyland Weekly.
Well, there's one right now.
There is one right now. The one that's available is a plundering pirate themed shirt.
And if you've been listening to the show, you'll remember plundering pirate.
Yes, plundering. Not plundering, plundering pirates.
So it's got a nice plundering logo on the front, and then it's got a small Disneyland Weekly logo on the back.
Yes.
So it's pretty cool. Well, now it's time to return to James and Trivia Land to get some answers to the trivia.
And find out how bad we did.
Yes.
Yeah, so our first question from Daniel was asking about the money that guests regularly toss into the pond in front of the castle and what Disney does with it.
And I said charity.
And I said specifically Seeing Eye Dogs.
And you are right. They give it to charity.
So we're both right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Daniel actually posed this question, he posed it as a true or false initially that they would use it to buy cat food to feed the feral cats in the park.
Oh!
That's a cute one.
Yeah, thank you for your submission, Daniel.
Yes, thank you, Daniel.
All right, so the second question was, what inventor's designs inspired the newest Tomorrowland?
I said Jules Verne.
And I said yes.
This was a broad question because there were a lot of inventors that inspired it. So Jules Verne was one of them, but he's more better known for Discoveryland over in Disneyland Paris.
Which is what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could have used a lot of other visionaries like Leonardo da Vinci or H.G. Wells would also have been good answers.
Nice.
Our next question was, how many babies are known to have been born in Disneyland as of 2015?
And I said 5, and Teresa said...
12.
12.
Yeah, y'all way overshot this one. It's 3.
I was going to say, it's probably like 1, and it happened in 2015.
And finally?
The last one from TJ.
Oh, good job,
the
TJ.
The good stumper.
This is a good one, TJ.
Name 3 locations in Disneyland Park named after a song.
And we James gave us...
The Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Right.
And we came up with the Small World Toy Shop.
Because it's a small world after all.
And the Jolly Holiday Bakery.
Because it's a jolly holiday with Mary.
So
and
gonna...
karaoke with Tag.
So I'm going to get half a point for a Small World Toy Shop.
Okay.
Jolly Holiday Bakery, right on.
Yeah.
The other one they're looking for was the Fortuosity Shop.
Futurosity Shop?
Which is from the not-so-well-known Walt Disney movie, The Happiest Millionaire.
What?
Oh.
Wow. Stumped us on that one.
Yeah, had to look that one up to make sure it was an actual movie.
I feel like we kind of cheated with the Small World one, but that's okay.
It was only a half a point.
It was a half a point. Well,
we did pretty good this week.
Wait a minute. What was the question again?
Name three locations in Disneyland named after a song.
Oh, just named after a song. So was it named after the song or the attraction?
Ooh.
The toy shop. Was the attraction named for the song, or
probably.
Was the song named for the attraction?
That's
what
probably.
Came first, the chicken or the egg? The attraction or the song?
So did we get, we got what, 3 points this week? Don't give us any points for that last one.
No points for
the
last one?
Or no, give us the Jolly Holiday, but that's it.
Well, that gives you like 3.5, or no, you didn't get that one. That gives you like 2.5, so.
Because what didn't we get?
How many babies were born?
Oh, yes.
Pretty solid week for the two of you, though. I got to try harder, obviously.
Yeah.
No, we just need to bring our average up.
So if you want to help me do better next week or in the upcoming weeks, I'd love to get some help with questions, especially the stumpers like TJ submitted. Send me an email at producer@disneylandweekly.com and we'll sneak them into the show here sometime soon and see if we can stump TNT together.
We also want to remind you guys that it has been requested a full trivia episode, so please send in as much trivia as possible. We do want to do this at some point coming up soon, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.